Hello, everybody. Welcome to Guys 5 Movies. This is one of your co-hosts, Chris Gasper.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 118 of The Spin Chagrin, and last week's category was convenient tunnels. So, Frank, what kind of tunnels did you find, and how convenient were they?
I don't know how convenient they are. They're there, you know, and all of them are in some ways like a part of the plot, some more than others. I'm going to go ahead and start with the movie that I didn't tell you I watched.
Okay.
Because I feel like this is probably the chagrin movie of the evening.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the two movies that I told you about, and you watched them both, so we can like talk about them. So, did you figure out where this quote came from?
Yeah, we figured it out, and now I've promptly forgotten it. But yeah, we did at some point over the course of the week.
Well,
or at the end of like after we got off last week.
So, it was about that Scared to Death or whatever that movie's called.
Yeah, Scared to Death. That's it. Yep.
Yeah. Because there's just convenient tunnels everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first movie I watched is just called Tunnels. It is also called Criminal Act.
Okay.
The reason I watched this movie is because it led me to believe that it was going to be about giant rat creatures in the tunnels under a city and, like, how they were attacking people. So, have that as your point of reference for what I'm about to tell you, because we're going to get to the point where you're going to realize there ain't no fucking giant rat creatures. So,
all right.
Spoiler alert. So, this movie is about Catherine Bach, I guess, the woman that played Daisy Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Is the city desk editor for a newspaper.
Hmm.
John Saxon, who has been on the Spin Chagrin several times, is her boss. He's the editor-in-chief of this newspaper. Her best friend / sexual nemesis is this plucky photographer woman, I almost said. She's a photographer who thinks of herself as being somehow like a budding investigative reporter, like, on her own. And then there's this morbidly obese man who I'm not sure what his role is as a paper, but he basically just does whatever anybody tells him to do. Mm-hmm. And kind of ends up being the hero of the movie, more or less, but we'll also get to that. So, okay. So Bach and Blondie, have this like little fight at the beginning of the movie, because the blonde woman wants to investigate this real estate developer, Brendel, I can't remember what the guy's name is, who she feels like is doing unscrupulous things. But Catherine Bach, she's not down for it. She's like, you know, just take pictures like you're supposed to. And then the blonde woman is like, oh, you've been behind this desk so long, you forgot what a scoop is. You couldn't investigate a news story if it bit you in the ass.
Yeah.
And Catherine Bach is like, I'll tell you what, the next news story that comes along, I'm going to investigate it. So they continue to have this argument back and forth while this woman is screaming from off screen. So the big guy, he like goes to help and investigate, and he says he has to take a shit, so he's going to poop. But as he's walking to go poop, he hears the screaming, and it's coming from inside the women's bathroom. So he goes in to investigate to see what's going on, and you see this woman like screaming towards the stall. And he goes in, and it's a shot of him looking into the stall and being like, oh my God, I can't believe that's in there. So is it a poop joke, you know, whatever? But what it turns out is it's a dead rat that's inside the toilet. So he takes it out. So they decide that the story, the scoop that they're going to get is, oh, it's been raining for like a long time, but now the rain has stopped. And that's what's, you know, the sewers are flooded. So that's what's caused this rat apparently to come up. So they're going to investigate flooding in the sewers and the rats that are down there. So real, real big scoop in a fucking major metropolitan city.
Yeah.
So an exterminator comes out, played by, who is that that plays it? It's a famous B actor.
Vic Tayback.
Oh, Vic Tayback, yeah. So Vic Tayback comes out and he's like, rats in the sewers. Ladies, let's go down and investigate these rats in the, do you know what goes on in the bowels of your building? Ha ha. So they all go downstairs and the blonde is starting to freak out because, you know, she doesn't want to go down into the basement, but they get down there and Vic Tayback starts telling them about Shanghai tunnels, he calls them. And they're apparently these old hidden tunnels that used to be built between the ports and places in the city that people could smuggle goods, like to and from like the docks so that no one would see them coming in. And in order to get into this Shanghai tunnel, he's got to break down this brick wall. It's like fucking Cask of Amontillado that's like walled up. And they're like, I don't know if we should be doing this. And he's like, nah, this is historic. You want a scoop? This is a scoop to get. So they end up breaking into this thing and they climb in and something like moves in the darkness and the photographer starts taking pictures and then they run away. And so they go back upstairs and John Saxon's all pissed because he's like, you're not a reporter. I pay you to sit at the desk and you just need to take pictures of what you're going to take pictures of. And so they look at the pictures and they don't actually ever show you the pictures. So they claim that you can see some giant like monster in the background.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, all right, well, here we go. Like, here's the whatever.
Right.
So even though Saxon's told them not to do it, they decide to go back down into these sewers to investigate. And this guy like pops up and Catherine Bach beats the shit out of him, like punches him in the face and kicks him in the guts and like knocks him out. So then it turns out that this guy is actually the brother of the developer that they were trying to get a scoop on in the beginning. And he works for his brother, and his brother, who also owns the building the newspaper is in, has sent him down there to kind of like see what's going on in the sewers, and he says hunt for cobwebs or whatever. So there's some attraction between him and Catherine Bach, and they talk about going out to lunch, and they do go out to lunch, and he ends up, he says something, he's like, I really like your form, and she's like, oh, well, thanks. Because he's talking about, like, where did you know martial arts from? And she says, it was from an ex. And we used to spar, but eventually all we did was spar, so we ended up breaking up, or whatever.
Okay.
So he's like, oh, I really like your form.
Dialogue.
Like, you've only seen it the once, and he's like, I mean your body.
Oh.
I really like your body and
right.
the shape of it. And she's yes. like, yeah.
I really...
fucking, I get it.
Fucking men.
So then Blondie and the big guy have now gone back down into the basement since they've been forbidden from taking pictures of whatever's down there to look for this like giant rat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, they end up getting lost and end up in the sewers, like a manhole underneath where Catherine Bach and this dude are on their date.
Okay.
So he ends up just kind of like excusing himself and he's like, I'll call you later. And she's like, cool. But she's not really into it. So then I don't know. She finds a way for the big guy and the blonde girl to get out of the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's this convoluted thing where the guy that you find out is the developer and the brother of the brother has a like a model boat in a bottle, and it's playing like this forlorn. So let me say, first of all, I kind of marked out to this movie a little bit because the score is really good. And I was like, man, this thing is like just the perfect, like 80s, like evocative score. And it took me about 20 minutes to realize what I was hearing was a sped up version of the Goonies. Like that, doo-doo, I can't imitate the way it goes, but the music that's played whenever like they're exploring things in the underground in the Goonies, mixed with the music that plays when the rebels are like sneaking through the forest of Endor, They just combine the two and sped it up. And so that's like what, but I mean, it's really effective. And like, I was like really into it, but it definitely did not earn how good like that score, the movie did not live up to the score, I guess I'll say that.
Okay.
So anyway, so then you're in a scene where the developer guy is sitting there and he's singing the tune to what should we do with the drunken sailor. Are you familiar with that song?
Yes, I am.
The do 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 do. Now that becomes a motif anytime certain people are on screen, but I don't really know like what the, like there's no specific reason why it happens, but it just plays every once in a while instead of like the Goonie Jedi score. So he talks about how he wishes he was like a captain on a steamer ship in the 1800s and that was the life for him, but instead, you know, he's a developer and he's saddled with all these like idiots. And then his brother comes in, and the guy that, you know, was Catherine Bach was like flirting with and or was being a pervert, sex pest to Catherine Bach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're not doing what I'm paying you to do. So then that ends. So then you realize like there's something up with this guy, because the developer guy is like the worst according to everybody. Like, he's really unscrupulous. So
where are these killer rats at?
So then Ted or whatever, the guy who like the brother, gets a hold of the blonde and they go on a date and they make out and end up like rolling around in the grass. But then when they're rolling around in the grass, they roll into a dead body. And they realize that the dead body was found in the river, so it must have something to do with these giant rats that they know are in the sewers. So then there's the subplot where this big bald dude hits a couple of homeless people that are sleeping in sleeping bags by the wharf and ties the sleeping bags around their heads and carries them off. And then you find out that they're keeping homeless people in a prison in the tunnels underneath the newspaper. And they're telling them, like, we have a job for you guys to do, but we're not ready for you to do it yet. So they go back to the newspaper, and John Saxon's all pissed again because nobody's, like, at their job where they're supposed to be. They're all just off doing whatever they want.
Right.
And
having dates in Shanghai. And
yeah, they're basically like, well, it's 5 o'clock, so our day's over. So then this homeless man comes in and says, hey, I'm Apple Bob. You want to find out why they call me Apple Bob? But nobody's interested. So then he talks about how two of his friends, or he saw his friend in the park, and his friend got kidnapped by a giant rat or a giant monster and a rat man. And Catherine Bach is like, hey, 5 o'clock, it's quitting time. Let's come on, Apple Bob, let's go to the park. So Catherine Bach goes to with Apple Bob to the park. And then there's this scene where this random woman comes up to where the developers, like, people are working, like, surveying a street. And she grabs their blueprints and she throws them away. And she's like, this is all you're doing in these five blocks? Pah! And she just leaves. And that's not explained, like, really ever, like, what's happening there. So then Apple Bob is like, he's Apple Bob because he likes to eat apples, by the way.
Oh.
Like, they never actually say that. Big mystery. He always has apples and he gives people apples.
Like, hidden in plain sight there.
Yeah, so then Catherine Bach and Blondie decide they need to go into the morgue to find this guy that, the dead body, because it's got to have something to do with the rat people. So Catherine Bach tries to seduce the morgue attendant, but he basically has a giant, like, magnum revolver in his pocket, and he holds her at gunpoint, and he threatens to shoot them both. But then the cops come and arrest everybody, and they don't learn anything about the corpse either, and it never comes up again. So they go to jail, and then Ted or whatever gets them, like, pays their bail and gets them out of jail. And they all go back down in the sewers to find out, like, what's going on, because they know that's where the dead guy came from. Oh, because the blonde woman found she found a lens to glasses down in the sewer. And then when they found the dead body, she realized that the lens was missing from the guy's glasses.
A regular Chinatown right there.
Right. So, of course, that's where the lens came from.
Mm-hmm.
But then the big bald guy pops up and just knocks him out and beats the shit out of him and throws him back into jail. So there's also been this guy. They've also at this point taken the homeless people out and put them in a van. I know the homeless people were protesting in front of the developer's office, but there's a dwarf that works for somebody who works with the giant guy that's in the sewers knocking people on the head. And they take him to get Chinese food, but it's just a ruse, because what they're really doing is selling them to this guy who's a sea captain that wants to take them as, like, indentured servants to help run his boat. The younger, like, Ted or whatever, and the two women are in jail, and Apple Bob comes and tries to save him. And the rat guy is, like, the long-haired guy is there, the ratty guy. And the bald guy, but the bald guy ends up knocking them all out, and Apple Bob, and putting them in a van. And then the bald guy and the dwarf and this other dude drive them away because they're going to kidnap them. So they're going to take them and put them on the boat with the homeless people. And all this is, like, some part of a development scheme, but that also never comes up with, like, what's actually happening there. So,
it is Chinatown.
They have them their hands are tied, but somebody, I think Catherine Bach has a pocket knife, so she ends up getting them free. And then Ted, attacks them, but then the dwarf stabs Ted in the back with this giant, like, machete. And because Ted was trying to make their van wreck. So then the van wrecks anyway after Ted gets stabbed. So everybody escapes. And then there's this chase where the big bald guy is, like, chasing the women. And Apple Bob just kind of, like, wanders off and gets lost. And the big guy who's been covering the city desk for, like, 2 days straight, they get into a phone booth and they call him and they tell him they're at the corner of 3rd and... But then the big bald guy knocks the telephone booth over, so they lose their connection. Then they all get taken on the boat.
I don't even know what's happening anymore.
It turns out that the captain is just buying people as captives, and he wants to buy the women. And then Ted pops back up, and the blonde is like, oh, I love you so much. Like, you're alive. But he pulls out a gun and he's like, yeah, knives can be faked and so can fake blood. And she's like, oh, I always pick the worst men.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that what's happening is he is actually trying to usurp his brother's position as the head of his brother's company, because he's going to murder Catherine Bach and the blonde and his brother and make it look like a murder-suicide because they were both in love with the brother, the older developer brother.
Okay.
And he couldn't decide between the two, so he murdered them both and killed himself. And then the police come because the big guy was like, well, they're at the corner of 3rd and something. And they eventually find out where they are. But not until after the bad brother shoots the other bad brother, the older bad brother. But then everybody escapes, and then Catherine Bach ends up beating up the bad brother. And then John Saxon chastises all of them for, like, instead of running around, you guys could have, written a story. And even though he's the editor-in-chief of the paper, they then show him his own paper with the story on the front page. And he's like, oh, you guys. So then, like, they kind of both get promoted to being reporters, even though for Catherine Brock, it's a demotion because she's, like, the city editor.
Right.
So then they hear some police sirens, and they run outside, and they go to investigate. And that's the end of the movie.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So there are no rat people. There was a homeless man with long hair that moved weird, and the big guy, and that was the monster and the rat man that they were seeing and they took pictures of. So yeah, that was pretty disappointing. The movie makes no sense. Like, nothing that's happening is ever really explained. Why are they selling homeless people? Like, that's just like a side hustle for their land development scheme,
right?
That involves like the sewers under anyway.
So just quickly,
yeah,
I never heard of Shanghai tunnels before, so I just did a quick Google search, and then I read about, like, you know, some, this is all based on like real shit that like happened in like the 1800s, like where they would, it was called Shanghaiing or crimping.
Yeah, I know about this.
Okay, and they would, like, kidnap, like, people and, like, force them to, like, become sailors and shit?
Yeah, they would use blackjacks to usually, like, drunks, like, knock them out when they would find them on the street, and then when they would wake up, they would be, like, conscripted, basically.
Right.
It was similar, like, the Foreign Legion did something similar to that, and it was, like, a tactic of, like, Tammany Hall, maybe? Was to, like, Shanghai people, kind of.
Be around that time period, too, yeah.
I think the term comes from putting them on, like, long voyage ocean-going vessels, you know, sometimes to the Orient or whatever. So, you got Shanghai.
Right.
Might be Shanghai.
Right.
Yeah, I...
And it's pretty prevalent, like, all around the country, like, at different ports and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, East Coast, West Coast, South, like, I mean...
In Britain, too. Yeah, that's how they, like...
Yep.
Filled the ranks of, like, the Navy, basically, was Shanghaiing people.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's fucking...
See, somebody back in 88 read, like, a Encyclopedia Britannica, like little article and wrote this movie.
Yeah, so fucking awful. confusing, stupid dialogue. Terrible characters. 92 minutes that I'll never get back in my life again. Yeah, just bad.
How have you stopped drinking?
I don't know. What good was
just listening to that? It's like, all right, I guess it's that time.
Imagine watching it.
And right. Right. Right.
And Tubi has not been giving me ads, so I really just like had to watch this fucking
movie. Oh, you just raw dogged it.
Like on Tubi. Two, like 30-second ads like interspersed it. So.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's dreadful.
It's like a 7.5 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the worst thing I've seen, and the score elevated it somewhat. And I mean, it's a real You know what I mean? Even though it doesn't have a Wikipedia entry.
Right.
It's Catherine Bach's one thing that, like, you can't click on and find a link. And there's even very little on the IMDb page for it, so.
So, real quick, is this the score you're talking about? It's called Map and Willie? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, with the piano thing, yeah. Yeah, okay.
But they speed up, like,
Uh-huh, okay.
And then the Ewok, not the Jub-Jub, but I can't remember where it happens in Endor, but there's a scene in Endor where, I don't know, you'd have to listen to the fucking score. I'm sure that nobody has the score to Tunnels uploaded on YouTube.
Right.
Or Saint. I actually thought the guy that played the chubby, like, really, like, the hero of the movie, I thought he was not a bad actor.
Okay.
He says at one point, I'm a sexual being, or like a fiercely sexual being or something like that, and that's kind of like weird and...
Yeah.
Like everybody just sort of ignores it, which I guess is like what probably would really happen there, or he'd get taken to HR, but not those days. Get third strike.
Right, yeah. No, not in those days.
Yeah, so Tunnels or Criminal Act.
Right.
Yeah, I was really disappointed. I kept waiting, like, where's he shot? Because I thought it was going to be like a Mother's Day thing where there'd be like a giant rat person at the end. It's like, oh, there really was a giant rat person.
Mm-hmm.
But no, just some plucky news reporter.
Yeah, some city editor.
City editor and a photographer.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, 8. I'm going to say it's an 8.
Okay.
It's the first, like, true chagrin I've had in a few weeks. So. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, where really, like, I just was not pleased watching that movie.
Right. Worse than nonplussed.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was definitely plussed. Or minus, I guess. The other thing, too, and I wish Frankie would have been awake because he had fallen asleep while I was watching this. He pulled a me. Mm. For some reason, Tubi has been showing me public access ads from the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a Northeast High School and a Perryville High School anti-drug ad.
Oh.
Like 2 separate times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they don't make any sense. Like, no one is teaching these kids what a narrative is because they are not doing a good job of, like, creating one in their 30-second ad spot. That was disappointing. I mean, more power to them for successfully, like, creating something and getting it seen by me on Tubi while I'm watching Tunnels.
Sure. Hold on. Come on. Please have a YouTube, like, thing. Ah, damn it. No. Just trying to see if I could find it online, but guess not.
Probably on the Cecil County Public Schools website, I would think.
Oh, it's a government website. Like, I'll need AI to, like, fucking, like, figure out, like, where shit is on a fucking government website. It's actually a really good strategy if anybody, like, wants to know a good use of AI. Use them for government websites where everything's buried.
Putting the bodies. So, the first movie I watched for this Instagram that I actually recommended to you, although I don't think you enjoyed it as much as I did, is a movie called The Tunnel, mm-hmm. which is 2011, I think, right? Australian
film. Yes, found it is. Army. Yep.
It's also on Tubi, but the next day it came up on Shudder, right. The special edition. So there's the actual movie itself, and then there's a documentary that's longer than the movie itself.
It is, and yeah. Do you want to know something really embarrassing?
You watched the documentary, or
I started, like, the documentary, and I watched like 12 minutes of it. And I was like, "Where are they going with this? Like, how is this going to, like, you know, like, become a horror movie? Like this is like a lot of, like, production, like, talking about, like, and then I finally realized, like, hold on a second, like, this is like them talking about the fucking movie, like, and
right,
and then spoilers. I watched the movie,
yeah. So, I'll tell you about the movie briefly, and then you can tell me why you didn't like it. First of all, the Australians have this thing about not getting to the point anytime soon. Like, they want to give you
yes
so much backstory and character development before they hit you with the thing. And I swear it happens in like a bunch of different like Australian horror movies I've seen, but like Wolf Creek specifically, because that's the one that you've always brought up. I really like, I like this movie a lot, but I can definitely see if you're going in just wanting to see like some found footage horror, like being so maybe not frustrated, but so like bored by the fact that nothing is happening forever in this movie.
Yes.
So it's done in mockumentary style, where it's interviewing these two people who are the survivors of this event, and it takes them forever to get to tell you what the event is, even though you can figure it out pretty early. There's apparently a water crisis in wherever they are, Sydney or whatever. Or no, they're in a... Fuck, what is it? New South Wales. There's a water crisis, and they're trying to find, like, the government had this plan to take these disused tunnels underneath the city that have filled up with water and take that water and repurpose it to be drinking water for the city. And then they shut down the project and abandon it. And this plucky investigative reporter wants to figure out why they've shut it down. But then none of her contacts will let her go into the tunnels where the project originally was, which she doesn't understand, and that makes her even more curious. So she assembles a crew of her sound man, her cameraman, her former boyfriend, who's now like the anchor of the nightly news, and her to go down in the sewers and figure out the thing. You know, what the mystery is. There's actually a really effective scene early where there's some taggers that are filming themselves. It's like found footage of them. Where two of them disappear in the tunnels, but then it's never mentioned again, or you never see him again, which I also kind of found annoying. Like, I would have liked them to find like corpses or something like that. And I guess maybe they do, but it's not very clear that they do, I don't think. Anyway, that doesn't matter. So of course they explore, and of course there's something, and they hear noises, and then something is like filming them with their camera, they find out, and then their sound guy, Tangles is his name, his nickname, he goes into another room to get better sound, and he disappears, and so they're searching for him. All this stuff takes fucking forever until you finally get to the meat, kind of what's happening, which is that there's some creature that's lived in the darkness and is like hunts humans and eats them, basically. There's a security guard that comes down to try and chase him out, and he ends up getting taken by the creature. There's actually what I think is the most effective scene in the movie, where it's filmed in night vision, and you see the man has had his eyes torn out and is like gibbering like incoherently in the water. And the creature rises up behind him and kind of like cradles him, sort of like almost gently, and then twists his head around slowly to like break his neck. Which to me is like super effective, the way that it's filmed. And just like the, cause you can't really see the creature very well, cause it's all in grayscale, cause it's night vision, but I think it still is like really effective to show like the size and scale of this thing. And, almost like the casual like violence that comes from whatever, like him just being like so much larger than everybody else. So then it just becomes a typical like first person chase after that, with the creature coming after him, and the ex-boyfriend guy ends up getting like injured, but then they finally escape from the tunnels that they're in back into the subway, because it's off like a disused portion of the subway. And he ends up, the boyfriend guy ends up like dying from his injuries sustained by the monster getting him.
Right.
And then there's no real resolution to it after that, like what the monster is or whatever happened to it. Just kind of one of those, you know, that's it sort of things. I thought it was well acted. I thought that the monster was really cool the few times you see it. I thought the scenes where they built tension were done really well. I just thought it was like a little too long and too wordy. And they took too long to get to the action. I thought that, you know, you could have maybe done more with her finding like other footage that had been hidden of like other people finding stuff down there.
Right.
But they don't do that. So, yeah. So the tunnels. I did not watch the documentary. I just watched the movie itself. I would say if you're a found footage fan and you've got nothing to do for 90 minutes, like it's worth watching.
Oh, yeah, it's worth watching.
It's not the greatest movie, but it's better than the majority of the bullshit that you see. And filming on location in those tunnels is actually really effective because it has, like, it's super claustrophobic and it feels, like, dirty and kind of terrifying at certain points, especially if you're not a fan of, like, closed spaces or whatever.
Right.
Which I am not. And they also do a thing that I think is an interesting conceit, which is like cutting to closed circuit television that it was being filmed at the same time that the stuff was happening to show you like different perspectives of it, which I have not really seen much in other movies. And I thought that was a cool idea. So,
yeah, I'm trying to think of where I have seen that because it reminded me of something and I just can't remember what it is.
There's a movie that I can never remember the fucking name of. Maybe it's Ghost Quarter or something like that. It takes place in a disused Russian insane asylum that was used for like research of like psychic abilities.
Oh, yeah. You made me watch this like a long time ago, like during COVID or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And they do something where there's like CCTV, like showing you stuff that's happening while like the other things you saw in the movie were happening.
Yeah. The
paranormal aspect of it. I didn't think that was perfect, but I thought it had a lot of really cool ideas. And
Right. Yeah.
Pretty effective. So.
Yeah, you explained, I think, like my biggest problem with that movie. I didn't think it was bad or anything. I just didn't like it as much as it seemed like you did. Like, I just thought it took so fucking long to, like, get to, like, anything, like, tangible, like, in that movie that you can, like, of what you want out of a found footage movie. And. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think there's some really effective scenes. It's made like, because I watched 12 minutes of a fucking documentary, like it's a really interesting story about the way it was made and like, through crowdfunding and stuff like that, like a really early model of that. And it was like $135,000 or something that they made this fucking movie on. And like, that's really fucking impressive. Like to be able to gather that money, that little money, but it's still like, and make this movie. Cause it's a well done movie. I mean,
$135,000 in $1 donation increments. That's
thing. Yeah. No, it's, but yeah, it's a fine movie. I just didn't dig it as like, as much as I think you did. But maybe Wolf Creek, I'll watch it in 20 years and again, and I'll think different.
Yeah. You know, I'm always impressed with sometimes more the intent than the final product.
Sure.
Like if I can see something in a movie that I find shows that some, like a real desire to make an actual film from the filmmaker, like
absolutely,
rather than a quick buck.
Yeah.
Like a labor of love kind of thing. So I
and then you add a plus one if it's Australian. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. I am a fan of that, even though sometimes they say shit and it doesn't make any sense. They're fucked up.
Yes. There's a chagrin category someday of an impression you did it all show you once.
Oi, crikey. Yeah, so my chagrin in this movie was low. It was probably like a 3, I guess, or something.
Yeah, like no, it's not like a chagrin worthy thing. It's just kind of exhausting the amount of time they take to get to what you want.
Sure.
It
way too much character building when they could have just like had it be more
or something that really like you don't give a fuck ultimately. Like right. I don't think they build them well enough to where it's like I care about those characters.
And the thing is, this like Deadline or whatever that movie's called, like it's basically the same premise.
Sure.
Just done in the modern like found footage way. So they could have like expanded more on certain things, especially the creature itself or other people's disappearances, and pulled back from like, oh, they had this relationship because she was fucking him, but then now she's fucking her editor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she gets whatever she wants. Like that kind of
Yeah.
Like, almost like slut shaming is, I don't know.
Right.
It's too much and it doesn't serve any purpose.
Yeah. So I know the next movie you're going to talk about here is a combo breaker, I think, from these two. Kind of, because there's a tunnel, but it's like, you know, it's not like taking place in the tunnel. So I think this is the appropriate spot to ask you. I kind of tongue in cheek the other day, like, claimed like that you love tunnels over text, and you were like, I don't think I love tunnels. But I think you kind of do love tunnels, like, not like the claustrophobic nature of our, not anything like that. I think you like movies that take place underground.
I think they are really effective when they're done right.
Yeah. Is it because you don't like the idea of being underground, or you don't like tight spaces? Yeah. Makes it more effective for you? Is that
100%?
Okay, yeah, that's like, all I meant.
Like, fucking As Above, So Below, The Descent.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of movies that take place in like cramped spell. Oh my god, fucking As Above, So Below.
As Above, So that's the best underground movie that's ever been made, right?
That's got scenes that just like,
yeah,
make my skin crawl to like think about them now. So. Yeah, I'm not a fan. There actually is a creepypasta from, Jesus, probably like 15 years ago.
Ted the Diver or whatever?
What's that?
Is it Ted the Diver or whatever that thing is?
Is that the guy that goes down into the cave system and
yeah,
ends up like pushing further and further and is keeping like a vlog about it, sort of?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's really good.
Caver. Ted the Caver.
Yeah, Ted the Caver. Yeah, stuff like that I just find really effective, and I think that it's
because they actually had pictures back then, like to go along with like the creepypasta.
No, yeah, mm-hmm. It was really like well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just I think when it's done right, it's really good, and I think the movies that have tunnel sequences in them tend to rate a little higher on my scale. If I find them to be effective, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's also like people under the stairs, like the shit, like behind the walls and down in the basement. Like, I think that stuff is super effective because of that idea. Like the fact, or there's a Kinski movie called Crawl Space that has some really effective stuff in it.
Hmm. Okay.
Because of the same idea, you know, that he's like this psychopath that moves around by crawling through like the crawl space in this house. So I guess I do like tunnels. I guess you win. You found me out. So
thank you. I appreciate your honesty.
You know, I'm an honest man.
I just thought it was interesting. There's the exact reason why I wrote the category down. Like, I guess like last year, because, it does seem like it's stuff you like, even if the movies aren't always good. So,
well, you win.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I'm glad.
You're welcome. That's one to 152 million.
Mm.
So the final movie, only has, I guess it's got a couple of claustrophobic scenes, but only really has one scene that takes place sort of in or around a tunnel. And that's 2017, right?
Correct.
Ghost Stories.
Mm-hmm.
The British horror anthology,
which feels like it was, I didn't look it up actually, like, but feels like it might have been aired on television, maybe.
No, so the reason that it looks like that is because you're watching the AMC cut. This is why, like, I keep unsubscribing from Shudder, but they offered it to me for $1 for 6 months, so I just took it.
And you took it. Uh-huh. Oh, for 6 months,
something like that. Yeah, or 3 months, 90 days maybe. It's a long time, but okay. I only have $6.
Okay. Good for you. Glad you get that deal.
So what AMC is doing is they're showing movies that are not even edited, but cut for television.
Mm-hmm.
So they have
the fade to black and fade back in.
The black and the cuts in them. I noticed it. I watched something the other day and I was like, holy shit, this is fucking edited for television.
Uh-huh.
And that was enough for me. Like, I couldn't watch anymore. But Ghost Stories didn't have anything edited out. It was exactly how it would show.
Okay, all right.
Because this is actually like an anti-chagrin in the sense that not only do I really enjoy this movie, but I've also watched it like 3 times now. So I knew the beats well enough to tell you that they didn't take anything out of that movie.
So really, you're just signal boosting this movie because it has a tunnel in it, right?
Yeah. I didn't forget, but I didn't make that connection until I was watching. I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Right.
A tunnel in this movie. But we've never talked about it, I don't think, on the podcast, and I really enjoy it. Ostensibly, it's about this guy who's... There's a movie from 15 or 16 called Red Lights. Did you ever see this?
No.
It's a De Niro movie.
I've never seen it. I know what you're talking about, though.
It's good. Similar idea, where it's a brother and sister who are kind of like psychic debunkers, where they try and prove the psychics are fake. Or that movie that I had you watch... Fuck, what was that movie called? With the girl whose father was making her go around and...
Yeah. What the fuck is that? It always gets recommended to me, and I'm like, what is this movie? Like, you know, like, have I seen this movie? And I click on it, and I'm like, oh, it's that movie, because it always has a different cover. But yeah.
Yeah, it always is. It's one of those tricky movies.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy who debunks, like, psychics and the paranormal, and you find out it's because he doesn't believe in God, because his father was really religious, and he kind of disowned his father for a terrible event where they threw his sister out or whatever. That part, I guess it actually kind of does matter, but...
His sister was dating an Asian guy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And they wanted her to date a Jewish guy because they're Jewish. Anyway.
Right.
So... That's the premise, and it's like the Amicus stuff or whatever, like Dr. Terror's House of Horrors or Asylum, where it's like, oh, here's three cases. We need you to look at these three and tell us what you find. Or that We Go On movie, which was similar but not shot in the same vein. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch that?
Sounds familiar, but it could just be from you talking about it.
It's the guy whose father died when he was young, and he's developed like agoraphobia, and he's trying to prove that an afterlife exists.
This doesn't look familiar to me, no.
Really good. I fucking recommend that movie too. Okay. Anyway, so this guy has to investigate three paranormal instances that happened, and then come back to this man that was kind of like his spiritual mentor, who was like a psychic buster from a previous like era, and inspired this guy to like do his work. And he has to like prove to this guy that an afterlife like definitively does or doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
The set pieces are all really good. You had said that you thought that the CGI on like the ghosts was a little corny sometimes.
Yeah.
I kind of found that charming. I thought that was...
I did too. Like I said, this is corny, but it reminded me of like something from like the 80s or something like that. So yeah. Like I was okay with it still.
I think there's some really effective scares in the movie, and I don't think that any of them are like... They're all like creepy shit in the background or like the implication of something. Or there is like one massive jump scare in this movie that's just fucking... like completely unexpected when it happened
in the third story.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it, but like it's not Hereditary level, but like it gets close to Hereditary, like in terms of like kind of like that jump you get, like in terms of, oh my fucking God, like,
yeah.
Really well done.
And out of nowhere. Really good performances in this movie. I like the guy that's the main actor. I think they do a good job of making you feel a lot of sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least like empathy maybe is better than sympathy. I just feel really sad for him the whole time. Like this guy who's just trying to get back at his dad sort of. And then the twist, there's a twist in the movie that I think is not telegraphed, but once you realize that it's like really apparent. That if you knew it, it was telegraphed the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the reasons why I've watched this movie multiple times. I like to go back and see like the things that point to what the twist is. And then Martin Freeman is in it, and he's fantastic in the role. So yeah, it's really worth watching. Currently up on Shudder, I think, or Prime, maybe.
Shudder, I watched it. Yeah.
But I would definitely
recommend it. Shudder and something like a Plex or something like that is the other one that you can watch for free.
Yeah, it's definitely worth picking up and watching if you fan of horror, like ghost movies or anthologies or
Yeah, definitely. I really, really enjoyed this a lot. Like, it was, it reminded me of, like, the almost, like, either Saturday afternoon type watches that I would see as a kid, on, like, Channel 8 or something, or it reminded me of, like, something I would see on, like, maybe Up All Night or something like that, like, at 1 o'clock in the morning, like, that I never, something that, like, got by me, I never seen, and, like, you know, it was like, oh, this is really cool, like, you know.
So I would recommend it, like, wholeheartedly. And so, that's this week's chagrin.
So I do quickly want to ask you about Martin Freeman. Is, do you know the debate that's been going on the internet that started, like, on social media and then has, like, made its way into, like, news articles, probably fucking generated by AI, most of them, but it's like, where it's like the guy who always delivers or elevates a movie, no matter, like, who it is. And it's like this debate is, like, started raging on, like, who is, like, the actor that is always, like, whatever role they get, they nail and, like, make it, like, basically make whatever they're doing better. And, like, Walt Goggins has been, like, put in that, like, position, like, where it's like he's a Martin Freeman's another one that's, like, been, like, kind of, like, put up, and, like, the argument for him is that, like, he has a much broader and longer filmography and, like, compared to somebody like Goggins, but it's like he's done enough inside of that filmography, even if he has some duds or some losers, kind of, that, like, he's, like, maybe, like, the guy, like,
I would argue Hoffman.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Hoffman is definitely maybe where something like this is generated from. But it's like they're talking about current, like, you know, like, still working alive, like, actors and stuff. Like,
well, there's one answer that's better than Martin Freeman or Walton Goggins.
Who's that?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
He's retired, though, technically, right?
Yeah, is anything ever permanent until he's dead?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, he's the guy that's 1,000. Like, every movie that he's ever been
sure
is at least watchable and is
definitely correct
by his performance.
You're correct.
I don't know if that's getting at you. Just ask me a question, I've started thinking about it.
Yeah. But yeah, I just thought, like, it's interesting because I thought Freeman was fucking amazing, like, in the sense, it's like, and he does elevate the movie, right? Like, any other actor could have done that well, but it's like Freeman knocks it out of the fucking park and, really adds a lot of energy to, like, the last, like, third of that movie or whatever.
Yeah, I really like that character.
Yeah. While I'm getting the wheel ready here, Frank, did you hear about Tarantino and the Movie Critic and everything?
I don't know.
He's no longer doing it?
What would happen?
He's decided against it. And then there was a bunch of weird, like, reports about, like, oh, he's working on this other movie and stuff like that, like, with the Cliff Booth character, and, like, blah blah. And so then it all came out, like, in, like, the Hollywood Reporter or something like that, of, like, what really happened is that, like, he started fucking with the script for the Movie Critic, and because he realized, like, he was started to write, he basically, what he was trying to do is he was trying to work as, like, different characters into that movie from previous movies, or think people that were related or tangential to previous movies. And then he really got obsessed with the Cliff Booth character and basically rewrote the script again, like, with, like, Cliff Booth as, like, a more primary character in the Movie Critic. And then like it turned into something else, and then he like was basically like, ah, I can't do this, like, you know, like, and is now like completely like rethinking like what his last movie, quote unquote, is. So it sounds like Tarantino is getting in his own head about this idea of like the perfect. And he's apparently used that term before, is like the perfect filmography. So he's getting into his own head about his last movie or whatever, which is maybe why you don't announce you're retiring. But Daniel Day-Lewis just made me, when you said that, like made me think of that. But yeah, it's a weird story, but it sounds like Tarantino's definitely in his own head right now.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind a sequel to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So
yeah, sure. All right, let's go ahead here, share, and see what you get for next week. Category for next week is I Got You. Category for next week is I Got You.
I say that too much. Got you.
Yes, you say it often. It's another one of the Frankisms, the common Frankisms that made the wheel this year. So I think it's wide open for you in so many different ways.
You ain't kidding. That I've already seen, I'm going to get you, sucker.
That's right. There's so many. You can just the word "got" itself. There's so many different ways to go with it, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that'll be interesting, because I cannot predict what you'll come up with. And I got two new categories to add onto a list for this week already. So. All right. Well, next week we'll be back with I Got You. Here soon we'll be releasing on the primary podcast a deep dive into Midsommar, and then after that will be the continuation and the finale of our series looking at Saul. So that's what you have. You can look forward to for the I think Saul got better as it went on. Right? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, at least our episodes got better, I think. Like I'm talking about it. Like
we're consummate professionals.
Right. Yes. Yes, that is correct. Sorry. I was just sitting there seeing you nod a lot.
I want to talk about that a little bit. So okay. I got up at 4:30 in the morning, after staying up until midnight last night to watch goddamn WrestleMania 6 with you and Orion.
Yeah,
to watch the Warrior Hogan fucking blow off match. That would be a blow off match for whatever, a decade, I guess. And then I had to wake up at 4:30, and then I had to work all day. Fucking awful.
Right. Man. Right.
So I'm tired. I got justifiable sleepy time coming up.
Hold on a second. Yes, understood. It was just a funny comparison. Because you knew what you were doing with that joke, but the audience didn't know what you were doing with that joke. I think.
What was that doing?
You knew you were nodding off, and then it's like you pop up and you're like, we're consummate professionals, and I think you knew exactly what you were doing with that joke, but nobody can see you, so
that's true. They don't know.
Right. I'm breaking kayfabe.
Breaking kayfabe, man.
Right. I fell asleep
during the review and had a moment of panic where I couldn't remember what the fuck the last thing I said was, but I think I saved it.
The review of what?
Something we were talking about. One of those goddamn movies. Maybe The Tunnel. I was like, and I fell asleep for like a split second, and I like immediately woke back up and was like, oh fuck, like what was I saying? I had to remember it.
Yeah, that's Yeah, I probably like missed that because on my end, what I'm doing is I have like at this point I have like 14 tabs opened in Chrome, from like basically like looking shit up like as you're talking like about the things you're saying. So, and before Frank gets his justifiable sleepy time, we're gonna say good night and thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Deuces.